Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we will face the issues. Our program is dedicated to seeking the truth. We're on Truth Radio. We're seeking truth. The Word of God says in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These words are spoken by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So when we seek truth, where do we go? Certainly we cannot go to a politically correct society. Certainly we cannot go to what the world thinks or might have a philosophy on. We need to go to the source of truth, the Bible. You see, the Bible doesn't just contain truth. The Bible is truth. And so when we seek answers, I recommend that we go to the Word of God. Today we're going to be talking about a variety of things, but there's a summary to the thought. We're going to be talking about corruption in government and resisting the politically correct viewpoint in America today. So I'm going to have a little group of a collage of thoughts and statements about the events taking place in America. And then we're going to look at a biblical text about three young men that many have read about, most have heard about, but perhaps you've never analyzed it in quite the fashion that we'll look at today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three young men that took a stand against political correctness in their day. We need to have faith in the furnace and stand against political correctness. But some of the things that's taking place today, by the way, just a little overview of where we're going during the course of this week. We'll be looking at the war that we're faced with in America against Islam. It's not just radical Islam. It's a war with Islam that's been declared on America. Another thing we'll look at this week, the demons and Pokemon Go. The demons and Pokemon Go. What is Pokemon Go? Why the craze? Where did it come from? What is the danger? What's wrong with it? Will it get people killed? Has it caused injury and death? What about trespassing laws and Pokemon Go? And then we'll also be looking at our primary election and the general election. We're going to be talking about during the course of this week and some next week, some of the candidates that's running, some of the rationale behind my personal opinion of some of those that are running and why they ought not be elected. I don't mind taking a stand on those issues because, after all, it's not considered biblically, it's not considered a political issue, but a biblical issue. We need to recognize that and stand for truth and stand for a biblical worldview, which inculcates, whether it's a religious, spiritual, political, social life, it is all one as we find it in the Word of God. So I encourage you to stay tuned during the course of this week. And this is a listener participating program. And I say that because we encourage your participation by telephone calls. You can agree. You may disagree. You may have other thoughts and suggestions, but we welcome your telephone inquiry and discussion. You can reach us at 904-401-1413. That's 401-1413. We invite you to participate. I like the Gomer Pyle little word, surprise, surprise, surprise. It is surprising, or maybe it should not be, to discover that the Democratic National Convention, under the leadership of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, was acting illegally. Yes, she was acting illegally. She was biased toward Hillary. All that she was doing behind the scenes was promoting Hillary. All that she was doing behind the scenes was trying to tear down and destroy Bernie Sanders. Now, I'm not a Sanders fan. I'm not for a socialist slash communist running for high office in America. I'm a little saddened and sickened by the fact that he got as much traction as he did, that he had as many followers as he had. That shows us the result of watered down, sorry, teaching in our colleges and universities and even in our junior high and high schools in America, where most ages between about 18 to 35 do not have a proper understanding or a knowledge of U.S. history. As a result of that, you have those blind-eyed followers of folks like Bernie Sanders with his socialistic, communistic revolution, as he was happy to call it. But nevertheless, within the Democratic Party, under the leadership of Schultz, Wasserman Schultz, may I remind us that she got caught, found out about, because of all things, there were hidden emails. Have you heard that before? Emails. It seems that that runs in the family of the Democratic Party and the candidates and the leadership within the convention. Hidden emails. Now we find that Hillary's VP pick also is one that Tim Kaine, the research that I've done on Tim Kaine, has known ties with Islamics and the Islamic agenda for America. Surprise again, surprise, surprise. Hillary's State Department, by the way, if you're not aware of it, when she was head of the State Department, Secretary of State, the State Department, U.S. State Department, eaten up with Islamic operatives, including her chief of staff, Islamic operatives within the State Department. They were there then, they're there now, and not just in the State Department, ladies and gentlemen, it is throughout our bureaucratic embeds in Washington today and across our nation in the governmental offices and high places. We need to be aware that there are things that's taking place that is corruption in government. And as a result of that, there's the mindset somehow, some way, that we should just simply go along with the flow and not resist political correctness in the era in which we live. Then we have an all-out attempt to control the happenings in America by the U.S. Attorney General. Loretta Lynch, acting, I'm sure, at the behest, acting, I'm sure, at the directive of none other than the occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Barack Hussein Obama. But she has injected herself in her office by filing suit against a little small town in upstate Pennsylvania. Why did she do that? Why would she bring the powers to bear from the State Department upon a little small town? They have a zoning department. The Planning and Zoning Department has a total of four people. They voted 4-0 to say no to an Islamic mosque that wanted to be built there in their city. Now, they have the right and the prerogative to do so. It's under their local governance, under their local ordinances and the requirements therein to say yes or no. They denied the application. Now, we have stepping onto the scene, interjecting the U.S. Attorney General's office into the fray, because the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, says that the mosque can be built. She has filed suit using the power of the federal government, filing a suit against the little town. I want to ask you a question. By the way, you can call in 401-1413, jump in at any place you want to. We can have dialogue and discussion. You can agree or disagree. That's your perfect privilege. We'd be delighted to entertain your conversation. She has filed suit against that little town on the basis that that mosque has the right to be built. Now, ladies and gentlemen, consider across America the hundreds and perhaps thousands of applications by churches to have their applications approved for zoning exceptions, zoning ordinance guidelines to be fulfilled in order to build church buildings and church facilities and open houses of worship to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard the U.S. Attorney General's office getting involved to force a town or municipality to allow a church to be built, or to intercede on behalf of a church because they have been done wrong in some fashion by a governmental agency? I don't recall any time, at any point in time, that ever being done. May I remind us, is it possible that we have a closet Muslim in the White House? By the way, I find it fascinating that Barack Obama's brother, his name is Malik Obama. Let me just read you a little blurb from this article. Despite the fact that his half-brother is president of the United States, Malik Obama says he'll be voting for Donald Trump this November. And that's fine with the Republican nominee, of course. Wow, President Obama's brother, Malik, just announced that he is voting for me, tweeted Donald Trump. Was probably because he was mistreated by his brother, just like most all of us have been mistreated. Make America Great Again is the slogan. And Malik Obama says that he wants to make America great again. He told the Post his deep disappointment in Barack Obama's administration and his brother's administration, he says, has prompted him to recently switch his allegiance to the party of Abraham Lincoln. He said, I'll be voting for Donald Trump. May I suggest that across the nation, most citizens, if we're wise, I believe we will side with Malik Obama, President Obama's brother, and say we need to vote for making America great again. That's just a little interjection of some thoughts. But may I suggest that we have a whole nation that's in an uproar. Just as a little small tidbit of other news. We have Corrine Brown, that is a representative in the U.S. House, and perhaps you read the papers or heard the news last week, a 24-count indictment against her for fraud, wire fraud, among other things. What in the world would Corrine Brown be indicted for? Because she set up a phony educational scholarship fund. And in that One Door for Education Foundation, it was designed supposedly to help supply educational needs financially for students. During the course of the operation of that foundation, she gave one scholarship for $1,000, and yet hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars flowed through that account. Well, what in the world happened to the money, perhaps you ask? Well, it was simply a piggy bank for her, a slush fund for her. May I remind us, she was using that to peddle political influence. What about buying votes? Was that part of it? Perhaps if you're in the political arena, the political know-how at all in Duval County, you know that every election cycle, locally or on a statewide level, you have what's called Corrine's picks. Corrine's picks. And literally what takes place, she fills out the ballots and then distributes them, and those that will go in and vote that ballot get a carton of cigarettes or perhaps a Visa gift card of some type, and she's never been charged with anything on that. And most politicians are fearful to bring it up because there might be repercussions because of political correctness. But you can go to about 6 precincts out of 199 precincts in Duval County, examine about 6 of those precincts, and you'll find that it's the Corrine Picks that wins every time. And now, forbid it to be said that the candidates, more often than not, will pay Corrine's political machine to have her put them on the Corrine's pick sheet so that they can be voted for. I say it's a sad, sad shame when political correctness is going awry to the point where even our local politicians will turn a blind eye to that fraud in voting and allow that to take place and say nothing and do nothing about it. We're talking about the issues that bring me to the point of political correctness and the need for citizens to stand against political correctness. I realize in the era in which we live, you're looked at as not being a team player if you don't go along with political correctness. You're viewed as being the oddball out if you do not agree with the political correctness. May I remind us, political correctness is antithetical to the Word of God. In Daniel, the 3rd chapter, 3 young men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood against political correctness. Nebuchadnezzar, according to the text, and time will not allow us to read the 30 verses in that chapter, in that whole 3rd chapter of Daniel, we find political correctness gone awry. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had sent out a decree. He sent it out to everybody that's anybody. The scripture says it was the captains and the judges and the princes and the governors, the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and the rulers. All of them received an invitation, I'm sure, based on the no expense barred, just as is practiced in the governmental circles today, including our city council and the mayor's office, where it seems that the budget can just be inflated and inflated and inflated each year, and we, the citizens, simply are supposed to ingest the inflammatory inflation and not ask any questions, just like now with there being a move with the referendum asking you to vote, asking the citizens to vote yes on a tax increase, supposedly to balance the budget to help pay for a $2.7 billion deficit on the police and firemen's retirement fund. Well, that was raided several years ago through 2 different administrations, through the Peyton administration and the Delaney administration, where they failed to do what was required on the retirement fund. But getting back to the text in Daniel, the 3rd chapter, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, built a gigantic monument to himself. It's costly, made of gold. It's colossal. It's about 90 foot high. It's corrupt. It's where Nebuchadnezzar, I call him Nebi if I may, Nebi was trying to deify himself, and everybody was supposed to come in and bow down to the king and simply be obedient, pay obeisance to what he was demanding. And then there's the dedication of that gigantic image that's standing out in the plains of Dura. And it's in old Iraq today, is the location of that, by the way. And he sent the notices out, and everybody's there. And the invitation came, went out, and everybody came. And the instructions were given that when the band plays, everybody, every man, woman, every person that's anybody that's gathered together facing that golden image that's 90 foot tall, you bow down and you worship that image. Someone said a number of years ago, it was literally Nebuchadnezzar's attempt to bring about what would be called deification and self-worship, and to fall at the feet of that image. And everybody did. Everybody was obedient to what the instructions were given, with the exception of 3 young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had the conviction that refused to bow. They refused to do so. And may I remind us, news came back to the king because there were some tattlers, if you will, in the crowd that said, listen, king, when everybody bowed down, these 3 Jewish men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you brought into the palace and the kingdom to work, they refused to bow down. They did not do so. And so what does the king do? The king calls them in. And when you look at verses 13 and following, Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, guys, I put it in the Youngblood vernacular so it's on the bottom shelf. Everybody can understand it. He said, listen, guys, I understand that when the music played, I've been told that you didn't bow down and worship that image. You didn't follow my instruction. Don't you realize, guys, that if you don't do that, you're going to fry in the furnace. The decree's gone out. The king basically said, I'll give you a second chance. The king, in his anger, in verse 13 and 14, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, says, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, before we rush to judgment and make a determination on what we should do, because we're all faced with issues like that in society today. There are politicians that say you need to do this. There are politicians that's running now saying, if you just elect me, I'm going to make everything just wonderful and great again. If you elect me, I'm going to change the policies on what we do, and I'm going to represent you in Washington. Listen, we've got some folks running for Washington for the leadership role in Congress. That when they were in the state, in the House, in Tallahassee, in the legislative body in Tallahassee, wouldn't even return a telephone call. 5 visits I made to one office and wouldn't even see me when I was working on some higher education legislation in Tallahassee. And now he has the gall of running for a seat in Washington and expects people to vote for him. I'll call his name in one of our broadcasts during the course of the week and next week, because we need to vet these candidates and vote what we believe God would have us to do as believers that would honor him and not necessarily pay obeisance to the ones that say, we're above you, we just want your vote to go in office. But getting back to the text, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is brought in before the king. The king said, listen, guys, if you don't do what I say do, you're going to be thrown in the fire furnace. Verse 15, now if you be ready that at the time you hear the sound of the music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that will deliver you from my hands? Here's the king basically threatening these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And his threat says, do you really believe that your God, that's the God with a capital G, by the way, in the biblical text, you really believe that your God is going to deliver you and you refuse to fall down and worship my gods, that's with a little g, the small gods, the false, phony, fake gods? These three young men had the commitment that refused to bend. Now keep in mind, they had the conviction that refused to bow. Now they have the commitment to refuse to bend. Their courage was undisturbed. Their confidence was undaunted. Their commitment is unchanged. They said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Verse 18 of chapter 3 in the book of Daniel. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the gold image which thou hast set up. Well, that's tough to do. It's tough to have the courage and the conviction to believe that God is God, and that we obey God and refuse to fall and bow to political correctness. We need to believe, ladies and gentlemen, that if God is God, that he's going to defend us and protect us. And if he chooses not to do so, if he chooses not to deliver us out of the fiery furnace, then he has a better plan for what he wants for your life and for mine. These three young men had the conviction that refused to bow. They had the commitment that refused to bend. But I want to announce to you the glory hallelujah portion of the text in verses 19 through 30 in Daniel, the third chapter. They had the confidence that refused to burn. You know the rest of the story. the scripture talks about the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He was bent out of shape. He was angry. He commanded that the furnace be made hot. And he says to those keepers of the furnace, make it 7 times hotter than it's ever been. In fact, it was so hot that it burned some of those that were getting the furnace ready for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the scripture says in verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other outer garments, and they were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, obeying God, had the conviction and the commitment to refuse to bow, refuse to bend. They're thrown in the furnace. Well, you know the rest of the story. They were burned up, weren't they? Not on your life. They were not burned at all. In fact, the scripture is very, very clear in verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. Not only did you see when they looked into the furnace that you had three young men walking around in the furnace, but there was a fourth one, the scripture says, and answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we take a stand to go against political correctness, when we take a stand to obey the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when we take a stand to refuse to bow, to refuse to bend, we are going to refuse to burn in the midst of that furnace. And in the midst of that furnace, according to my Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state, it's called a Christophany in the Old Testament. He stood with them, indicating his provision, his protection, and his standing with them for standing for truth. The deliverance is there. The king looks in the fiery furnace. He was shocked and amazed. What did he see? He saw Christ's presence in verse 24 and 25. He sees these three men loose, walking around, but the fourth one is present. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. It's the pre-incarnate Christ, a Christophany, complete protection. May I say to you, if you're faced with the darts of the enemy, if you're faced with the trials and the tribulations and the pressure to be obedient to the system that we live in, I simply say, be as these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had the conviction that refused to bow. They had the commitment that refused to bend. They had the confidence that refused to burn. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to deliver us anytime we're faced with the enemy that says, you either do, are you going to die? May I suggest to us it's time in America today that believers, that men and women, boys and girls, those that's listening to the sound of my voice, if you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, don't feel that you've got to bow to political correctness. Take a stand, obey God, be obedient to Him, be salt and light, and God will preserve and protect and meet every need. God bless you for listening. We look forward to meeting you tomorrow again on the air, this same time, same station, and same hour. And God bless you this evening.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question-and-answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.